Welcome to the Living Epistle Podcast, the place where you will find biblical principles to help you live out your faith on a daily basis and to have a positive impact on the lives of others. So, get ready for another powerful episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Hello, my name is Tony Miles, and welcome to this week's episode of Living Epistle Podcast. As we are about to enter what Christians around the world observe what we call Holy Week, I wanted to take some time in this week's episode to really explore what exactly is Holy Week and what is its significance. And so let's begin with the question, what is Holy Week? Well, Holy Week commemorates Jesus' last days on earth. And it begins on Palm Sunday. Jesus' crucifixion is commemorated on Good Friday. And then Holy Week ends with the celebration of Jesus rising from the dead on Resurrection Sunday, and what many around the world call Easter, right? But as we grow and we mature in our faith, we understand that we want to call it Resurrection Sunday, because that's what we're celebrating and that's really what we observe. We'll talk about what Easter is and where it came from on another podcast. But for now, I really just wanted to talk about what is this Holy Week and why is it so important? And so I mentioned at the beginning that Holy Week begins on what we is known as Palm Sunday, or what we call Palm Sunday. And so what exactly is Palm Sunday, right? Let's start with that. And so Palm Sunday reflects on Jesus's last entry into Jerusalem before his crucifixion. And so the day is called Palm Sunday as it commemorates Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, and the crowds are there and they wave palms and they wave branches and they threw palms down and they threw their cloaks down on the path in front of him, and they were shouting praises and, you know, just so excited to see Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And they thought that Jesus was coming into as this king to overthrow the Roman government, to throw this Roman imperialism, and had not yet understood, right, that God's plan was to establish an eternal kingdom to save his people. But they were thinking that Jesus was coming and he was going to overthrow this Roman government who they were under the hands of and under the oppression of. And so they were shouting, man, here comes our liberator, right? And so at the time of Jesus' last days and leading up to his death, Jerusalem was full of pilgrims and they were celebrating the Jewish festival of Passover, right? So it's a big deal. So people from all over were in Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of the Passover. And so it was also a time of political turmoil and unrest, right? Jerusalem and Judea were under the control of the Roman Empire. And we know that, right? Because we know about Caesar, we know about Paul, the Apostle Paul, having to go to answer to Caesar and the Roman government, and Paul being a Roman soldier in one of the other episodes, a Roman citizen, we talked about that. And so Jerusalem was buzzing, right? And so there was all of this activity. The Jews are celebrating the Passover, and people who aren't living in Jerusalem are coming in from around that region. And so they hear these stories, right, of this Jesus, this man called Jesus. And so Jerusalem is a buzz, and I'm sure they've heard all these stories. They heard about this preacher and this teacher who had taught with authority. They heard about this man called Jesus who cared for people who were the marginalized and the outcast, right? He was breaking these traditions. He spoke to the woman at the well. He's healing on the Sabbath, and talking about that. And then he's performing these miraculous healings for people who had issues for 12 years and people had issues from birth, and he's doing all this. And not only that, but they hear about this man who's challenging the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. He's challenging the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and them trying to hold people to laws that they don't themselves keep, right? And so here this Jesus is coming into town and he's claiming to be the one that was fulfilling prophecy. But wait, not only that, he is claiming to be the Son of God. So, you know, that got the religious community up in arms, and we know he was accused of being a blasphemer. Not only that, but he said that he was God in flesh, that he and the Father are one. Whoa, right? And so all of this is going on, and so that's why they're saying, "Hey, this has got to be the one." And so we can read about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem in John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. But my, how quickly things change. On Palm Sunday, right? This crowd was shouting and hollering and praising him, thinking he was coming. And they were saying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." John chapter 12, verse 13. But not even a week later, right? But on that Friday, that same crowd is shouting, "Crucify him." That same crowd is shouting, "Give us Barabbas," and "Crucify him," right? And so this is what we have come to call Good Friday. And so, what is Good Friday? Good Friday commemorates a sad and a dark day, and it's full of hardship. And the events that are leading up to Jesus' death on Good Friday were filled with darkness and they were filled with sorrow. And Jesus himself, and this is what I love about our God lets us see the full humanity of Jesus on display. Because we see in this day, on this day, and leading up to his crucifixion, we see that Jesus experienced fear and he experienced anxiety about what lay before him. But he knew that his mission was to suffer and to experience all of God's wrath as a substitute for what humankind deserved, right? And so we know, we talk about God is love, and we talk about, man, this God, man, he's so loving and he's so kind and he's so all of this. And that is so true. I'll say, and so God is a God of love, yes, and God is also a God of justice. And what do I mean by that? That means that God cannot let sin go unpunished. God is not a God who will wink at sin or give a wink and a nod and let us continue in our sinful ways. Sin has to be judged. So just as much as we know of God to be a God of love and of passion and of kindness and of gentleness and all of those, we also know that God is a God of justice and judgment and righteousness. And so he has to, if God is to be God, God has to honor his name above everything else. God has to honor his word above everything else, right? He says his word shall not return void. So he has to honor his word, right? And so the Bible tells us that Jesus was sorrowful and troubled in Matthew chapter 26, verse 37. But in this moment of anxiety, in this moment of suffering, in this moment of sorrow, in this moment of trouble, in this moment of struggle, Jesus does something. He prays to God, his heavenly Father. And this is what he prays. Very familiar passage of scripture from Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Jesus says, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And so what we see here is that Jesus understood his assignment. He understood his mission. He understood what was before him. And so in even in his moment of humanity, the Spirit of the living God comes through in him and he says, "Nevertheless, you know what, God, I would prefer not to do this. I would prefer that you take this from me." So true. All of us, right, can have that testimony. We'd rather not have to go through the hardship. We'd rather not have to go through the trial. We'd rather not have to go through the test. We'd rather not have to go into the furnace. But he had a nevertheless. He had a nevertheless. Not my will, but yours be done. And so instead of stopping Jesus's suffering, God gave Jesus the strength to endure the path to the cross. And this certainly was a part of God's greater plan of redemption for the people of the world who God loves so much. How do we know? Come on. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so again, because God loved, he gave us his Son. And I was so reminded of this, even that he the level of love that God has for us. And I was reminded of Isaiah 53, 10, and I'll read verses 10 and 12, but that whole Isaiah 53, but particularly verses 10 through 12. Isaiah 53, I'll read 10 and 12. I'm going to skip over 11 just for the sake of time. This is it from the New King James Version, right? So think about this, that instead of stopping Jesus' suffering, God gives Jesus the strength to endure the path to the cross. Now let's go back. This is the New Testament. Now let's go back to the Old Testament. Isaiah 53 and 10, and it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him," him being Jesus. "He has put him," Jesus, "to grief. when you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Jump down to verse 12. And it says, therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. What does that mean? And you got to read it. It's so beautiful. It's so wonderful. And it says, but the Lord himself had a plan, and it was a part of God's plan to crush Jesus and cause him grief. And yet when his life was made an offering for sin, he would have many descendants and he would enjoy a long life. And the Lord's good plan will prosper in Christ's hands. And he says, I'll give him the honor of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death and he was counted among the transgressors, the sinners, the rebels, and he bore the sins of many. And now he intercedes for us. He interceded for the rebels. So even as Jesus was going through, right? Come on. What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Man, what a beautiful love story. It's a beautiful love story. And it's called Good Friday because Christ's crucifixion was good for all of humanity because of what Jesus did at Calvary. Humanity's sin debt was paid in full. Remember, let's go back. God is the God of judgment and justice. Sin has to be dealt with. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And so Jesus, there had to be the perfect sacrifice, and Jesus was that perfect sacrifice. And so we call it Good Friday, even in terms of the brutal death and the suffering and the crucifixion and the being on the cross and the way that he died, but it was good for all of humanity, that Christ paid the price in full. So we don't have to offer burnt offerings or sacrifices, or it ain't about our works or how good we are. We can't be good enough. So let's settle it and accept what Christ did on the cross. But then we must thank God that Jesus's story doesn't end on Good Friday. Therefore, our story doesn't end with death. Right? So on this Resurrection Sunday, on the first day of the week, on that Sunday morning after the Sabbath, right? Then Mary Magdalene and the other women came into the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. And guess what? He was not there. So I'm not going to do a Resurrection Sunday podcast, but nonetheless, right? So Christians around the world, we celebrate Jesus's rising to life again. We celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior on Resurrection Sunday. Why? Because through Jesus's life, through his death, and through his resurrection, Christians believe he brings light, he brings hope, he brings life, he brings a chance for salvation and eternal life to the world. I mean the entire world, to anyone and everyone who would believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so on this day, on Resurrection Sunday, Christians around the world from all ethnicities and all cultures and all nations happily greet each other with the phrase such as, he is risen, or Christ is risen. And we say, he is indeed risen. And we celebrate, right? Why? Because it is a day of hope. It is a day of thankfulness. It is a day of joy. It is a day of gladness. It's a day that nearly 2 billion people, 2 billion Christians around the world celebrate the resurrection of our risen Savior. And so Jesus, who identified himself as the good shepherd, who lays down his life for his sheep, he promises an abundant and a meaningful life to those who surrender their lives to him and those who follow him. And how do we know? John 10:10, the second half of that, the B clause. And it says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly, an abundant life, a full life, a rich life, not in terms of material things, but a rich life in terms of my plan and my purpose for you, a rich life in terms of what I have called you to do, right? And so again, I say, that as we enter what we call Holy Week, and I know this may be, a refresher or a reminder, and I'm sure maybe it's not new for most of us who are listening to the podcast, but even as we begin to enter into Holy Week, starting with Palm Sunday, Let us look for opportunities to tell people about our wonderful Savior, to tell people that what he did for us, to tell people how we are where we are and how we're able to do what we do because of this amazing Christ who died for us, and because of this amazing God who loves us so much that he gave the very best that he had. He gave himself and wrapped it in flesh and sent him to die for us. But not only that, we can celebrate that he's still not in the tomb, but he is risen and he's at the right hand and he's making intercessions for us. And so my brothers and my sisters, again, as we celebrate Holy Week, this is the holiest time of the year for us as believers. Let us look for opportunities to share the light, to share the life, to share the love, to share the joy, to share what Christ has done, the thankfulness. Let us look for opportunities because God is so worthy, and we thank God that he didn't allow it to end on Good Friday, but that on Resurrection Sunday, he got up. And because he got up, we can get up with all power and understand that there's nothing or no thing that can keep us from what God has for us. So remember, family, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. This is Tony Miles. Thanks for listening. Now go and be a living epistle. Join us again next week for another episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Music for Living Epistle Podcast is provided by Audionautix.com.